Welcome back to the Dry Podcast with me, Matt Pink, aka the Better Life Guy. And I've got my glamorous co-host with me this morning, slash this afternoon, wherever it is, whatever it is in your world, Crystal Day. How are you?
Hello, I'm good. Thank you very much. Nice to have our weekly catch up. How are you doing?
I'm all good. I can't wait to fill you in about my new spiritual path. That's what we're going to be talking about this week. Spirituality. I'm going to do a bit of that.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear. You've had quite the weekend, haven't you?
I have, but before we go into that, I recorded another podcast, which will come out later in a few weeks once it's all been edited up yesterday. And I was joined by Andy Ramage. We had a guest on the podcast, and that wasn't Andy. Andy just co-hosted the podcast with me because it was conveniently located near his house. And before I introduced the guest, I had to introduce Andy Ramage to the podcast because I don't think he's actually been on it since we've done it since the start of the year. So newsflash, you guys will be getting a podcast with Andy Ramage on it. The Jet Setting, the famous, the Rich Roll podcast, the Rangan Chatterjee maestro of the soap world, Andy Ramage, will be gracing your ears very soon.
His debut on the Dry Podcast. We'll be excited for that one.
He was loving life. It was nice to see him, nice to catch up with him, nice that the weather's turning, nice that spring seems to have finally sprung. I'm feeling very excited.
Oh, me too. I've said this about three or four times now on this podcast, but that feeling, the warmth on your skin, oh, you just
What's
can't
it called?
Beat it. Oh, I really need to get this embedded into my brain. Aprosity. I think it is, yeah. That's it, I've nailed it.
Drunk.
It's in there. And I can't tell you, I was just out in the garden. I mean, I do my grounding barefoot all year round, even when it's freezing cold and there's ice on the lawn. But doing it when the sun comes out and filling up my bird feeders and they're all making their nests. And I'm actually befriending a little robin in my garden at the moment. I'm going to try to get him to eat out of my hand. So I will keep you updated on the robin watch.
That is very interesting. Have you named him?
Do you know what? I have only named him today. I've named him after my dad. So he's called AD. Because there's the whole lovely thing about when a loved one is near, a robin will appear. And Bear was talking affectionately about my dad the other day, who, for those of you that know, passed away in 2020. And yeah, and he was just talking about how much he missed Granddad. And then what should appear on the bird feeder outside the kitchen window but a robin? And so I thought, oh, well, that's it. It was probably AD himself. So there you go.
That's very topical to what we're going to be talking about as well.
Exactly.
So I was just telling you when I saw you this morning for a little coffee, I was telling you a little update. So I thought this week we wanted to talk about a little bit of spirituality because it seems to be something that comes up quite a lot when people stop drinking. People seem to find the greater power, the higher power, God, universe, whatever you want to call it. I don't really have a name for it. But I know that there is it, and I find great comfort in it. But I also know that once you go a few years down the sober route and without a really solid foundation and routine, it can be quite easy to drop a bit of spirituality practices, meditation, breath work, whatever it is. And I've definitely found that. And you know, there's no wonder. Life is busy. You know, I've got married. I've had a baby in the last few years. You've got married, you know, stuff happens, doesn't it? You've been through your treatment. Life throws you at stuff, good stuff, bad stuff, ugly stuff. And it's very easy to sort of forget about the world of spirituality. But once I rediscovered it, not rediscovered it, but kind of relit my fire this weekend, being in Scotland with the Off the Sesh lads, and I just feel at complete peace and harmony with what will be in the world. And I wanted to share it with you guys because it is quite, I don't know, controversial is the word, but some people turn their nose up at it. Some people completely get it. Some people love it. And more people are curious about it. But what's your relationship like with spirituality?
Yeah, I think it's often the word, isn't it? Spirituality that can make it controversial or sometimes put people off. But really, I think that word can mean whatever you want it to mean. And I think I quite like the idea of using the word belief. You know, it's a belief in something that's outside of yourself. And I'm not a religious person per se, but I feel very open-minded to what may or may not be, if there might be a life after death. Who knows? Who am I to say there isn't one? And I think when I was younger, I was very much, no, you know, we live, we die, that's it, there's nothing more. But as I've got older, I have found myself becoming much more open-minded and intrigued about the idea of, yeah, exploring what might be. And you've talked about, you know, your experiences when we've chatted off air over the weekend about sort of getting outside of yourself. And I kind of think that's the key to it, really, isn't it? I feel like that sums it up, a belief in something outside of yourself.
Definitely. And I think we're also caught up with like no needing to know what's happening, what happens next, what happens, you know, what we're doing in 2 years, what we're doing in 5 years, and having control over life, where really you can't have too much control over it. You have to be prepared for whatever it throws you. And also, without sounding morbid, you have to be accepting of the end. At the end, you know, you have to be accepting of death, and you have to almost embrace it. So once you start embracing it, Crystal's shooing somebody out of her room very, very aggressively, but very silent.
I've got a child whispering at me, darling, I'm just doing a podcast. I'll be back in a minute. No, you're not. I'm going to go on the iPad.
Okay.
I'll see you in a bit. Sorry, carry on.
Which child was it?
That was Bear.
Oh, good old Bear. Anyway, we were, yeah, just the whole, I used to think the world of spirituality was nonsense, and to some degree I was scared of it, I suppose, which is ironic, because now I absolutely love it. And actually the thing to be scared about is actually the thing that you used to be scared about is sort of the whole world of spirituality. So I'm scared about death, I was scared about thinking there was a higher power, I was thinking scared about people almost looking out for me and watching me. I was like, oh my God, are they watching me drinking? Are they watching me doing drugs? Are they watching me doing all the things I shouldn't be doing? So I just turned a blind eye to it. And when I stopped drinking, I discovered it because it almost fell into my lap naturally. I started doing things like meditation, very small things, meditation, reading, you know, just starting to look up a bit and think, and start to connect with nature. You know, the things you talk about, grounding, or I used to do it after running and seeing the birds, listening to the birds, watching the leaves blow, noticing the change of the seasons, all this sort of stuff is like a spiritual practice in some way, shape, or form. And it's very much entry level. But once you start getting to the juicier bits, you start actually doing the practices, the breath works, the meditations, the in-depth meditations, the sort of, and I suppose, yeah, the breath work, the psychedelics. I had the most incredible experience on at the weekend with the lads on off the sesh. And so we went to this. I'm just going to tell you about it because I'm excited to tell you about it. I'm going to get on with it. So we
Tell us,
went.
tell us.
So off the sesh, if those who don't know, is my group of lads that is a sort of spin off from the Dryad. But I wanted to create a lads community because I kept getting messages every single weekend from lads that were drinking and knee deep in, you know, 4 a.m. coke sessions, and just like a bit of a cry for help. Like, can you help me? I've seen you done it. What did you do? And then I found myself being unable to answer them because there were so many, and it was also always at the same time. So you wake up to 20 different people messaging you 20 different scenarios. It's like really difficult on top of the normal messages and everything else that goes on in life to reply to everyone. So I thought I just need to open a space for people, for men, boys, lads to come to that are all sharing the same interest, which is getting off the sesh, off the booze, off the drugs, off whatever, and into a life of an alcohol-free life, and into a world of happiness, spirituality, alignment, and everything that I sort of love. And when I did it, it was kind of an instant bond with people I'd never met before. And we get together every Friday at 7 p.m. over Zoom, and we have a alcohol-free beer together, and we just have a chat about the week. Sometimes people have got stuff to share, which is you know, sort of hard to say, hard to hear if someone's had a tough week, and we all rally around each other. Sometimes we just have a complete laugh and we take the piss out of each other. Sometimes we talk about football or whatever else is going on in the world. But more so this year, being in year two, I wanted to do more events. So this year we've already just done the trip to Scotland, which was incredible. And big shout out to Steve-O for helping organize that. And we went up to this place in the Highlands, and it was like a little mini retreat. There were six of us lads that went, and plus the couple that run it. And the couple that run it are just beautiful people, very spiritual, don't drink, and just just, love what nature and life is all about, really earthy, but in the best possible way. And we were like welcomed there, all of us, and we did like an open ceremony. And I was just so totally open to doing whatever was going to be. And I knew it involved like yoga, breath work, journaling, meditation, eating plant-based food, going for walks, cold plunge, hot sauna, that sort of thing. Just stuff that really makes you feel better on top of the elevated baseline of sobriety already. So I was excited to do that, but I was unsure about, I hate the cold. I'm not sure about all the breathwork stuff because I've never really gone into it. But this time, and actually it came from seeing me and Crystal went to Tony Riddle's retreat, which was a wellness retreat, very similar in September in Cornwall. And we did a breathwork session and I was kind of like doing it, going through the motions, but also a bit shocked at how many people were sort of yelping, screaming, laughing whilst doing the breathwork. I was like, what is going on here? And I sort of thought, is this like staged? I didn't really buy it. It was a bit like we go to a hypnosis show and you're like, are they actually thinking they're riding that horse? Or like, is this some sort of bullshit? And actually it was Tom, who's Crystal's husband now. I keep saying boyfriend, but husband. He started yelling and rolling around, didn't he? And we were like, what's going on here? So that was my first buy-in to breath work. But yeah, he had a mad experience, didn't he, before I carried on.
Yeah, he was in deep on, and at one point, what was the term the lady used? Like, we couldn't get him out of this sort of, not, we weren't trying to get him out, but he was so deep in this sort of trance-like state. And the woman said something like, oh, he's deep in a spiritual vortex or something, wasn't it? And she just gently folded his arms on his chest and kind of, let him come out of it naturally. And he loved it, didn't he? He had a mad experience.
Yeah, and that so then after that I thought, shit, I wish I'd have like given that more of a go and let go. And so this time I was like, right, I'm doing it. So we had this mad breathwork session where we did 10 minutes of like intense breathwork, but really getting faster and faster, more intense for 10 minutes, and then let go for 10 minutes where you just sort of have an eye mask on, lie there, let all your breath out, hold your breath, and see what you see. And I thought, I'm not going to see anything because I didn't see anything last time, but I'll give it a good go. So I was there panting away as hard as I could. And after 10 minutes, shut my eyes, let the breath out, held my breath, and just started seeing these like psychedelics. Like I was like, my head was a kaleidoscope. It was mad. And like there was no actual psychedelics, no psilocybin, no nothing like that we took to enhance it. It was purely just the breath. So I was flying a spaceship. I was seeing lions and tigers and ladybirds. I was seeing myself as a boy. I saw my dad when I was younger, like when he was younger with me. I was just like, it was mad. And every time we did it, so 10 minutes on, 10 minutes off. By the third one, I was panting so hard. I was giving it so, because I was just like wanting to keep going with it. I wanted to see more of it. I wanted to feel more of it. And it just felt so magical and peaceful and just happy and floaty. And it was just incredible. And the purpose of it, by the way, which I learned this weekend, I'm not like an expert, but is essentially we have all these like traumas, we have all these experiences, we have all these emotions that we lock away and we pack away. Like we pack them tight and we don't even know we've been through them a lot of the time. At 99% of them, we don't even know they're there. So when you do things like this breathwork session, you start to pierce the veneer and you start to let go of the things that are stuck beneath us and they start to bubble away. So you might feel a bit of sadness, emotion, pain, anger, resentment, laughter, whatever it is. But it's all good, whatever it is, because it's literally just relieving the pressure and all of your emotions. And once you do that, you feel lighter, you feel happier. And I was quite fortunate because mine was all very like light, airy, fun. I had a smile on my face the whole way through. But it just reminded me of how powerful the world of spirituality is and how much I want to sort of go keep walking down that path. Because I'd say it's probably the best I've felt in the last sort of 5 years have all been spirituality related, whether it's been a meditation, whether it's been going to see a medium, or whether it's been actually doing breathwork sessions. That all of that stuff, when you know there's a higher power, when you know there's stuff that you're releasing, when you know you're working on yourself and healing trauma, etc., it's magical. And when I did it with the lads, the six of us all doing it, we're all crying together, we're all laughing together. It was just even more powerful and it was enhanced. So it was the point of the conversation is to say, A, if you're not doing any spirituality work and you are sober, you should give it a go, whether that's a YouTube meditation, an introductory breathwork session, a bit of walking outside in nature, a bit of feet in the grass, feet in the ground, feet in the beach, hugging a tree, did a bit of that this weekend, just getting amongst nature and realizing that we are highly insignificant in so many ways in the grand scheme of things. And when we get caught in our head and our little problems, and they are little problems, even if they seem huge to us, they're really not that big. And actually everything's fine anyway. And everything, and they use a really nice term for the whole weekend. And they said, everything's just love. And if you see everything as love, then you understand spirituality, because that's all the world's supposed to be. It's only egos that are formed of experience, and they're the people that are causing all the trouble in the world, which is very true if you think about that and who people that are. So, don't know. What's your thoughts on all that stuff? Because you're a bit on the fence with it, aren't you?
Well, not on the fence, because I would say, you know, I'm very, because one word that came to mind when you were talking in relation to spirituality is connection. And for me, it is a lot about connection to your inner self, to the outer world, to the universe, to nature. And I spend a lot of time outside. And it was interesting, actually, a couple of weekends ago, I did a values quiz, I suppose you might say, that was put together by Brené Brown. And there's like a list of a couple of hundred words, and you're essentially trying to narrow it down, and you're crossing off all these words as to what doesn't rate as highly in your life. So you're looking for what matters, what are your values, what's really important to you. And as I was going through the list, the only one that jumped out as, oh my God, that's the thing that I couldn't live without, was nature. You know, so that's really, really high on my list of values. And if somebody said to me, you know, you can't spend any time outdoors today, I would find that really difficult. So I feel, yeah, I spend a lot of time in nature and in awe, which I think, you know, those two things, that's part of spirituality as well. And having that appreciation for the natural world, because it's funny, isn't it? We call it nature, but we are nature. We differentiate ourselves from the rest of the planet. You know, it's almost like it's the planet, nature, other animals and us. And we are all the same thing. So I think on that level, I'm very spiritual and I feel really connected to the planet. And as I get older, I sort of love this beautiful planet more and more. But yeah, probably what I would like to do more work on is still time, which I think is really important to, just calm the mind, you know, calm that monkey mind, tune into your natural intuition. What is it saying? And I think in this modern world, we've really lost touch with that. You know, what is it we truly want and need? And, you know, how do we need to look after ourselves? Because we're bombarded with information, you know, especially with smartphones, we've got constant access to information. You know, we were talking earlier about being a bit overwhelmed by, you know, you listen to podcasts and you'll hear one guy one week on, say, the Stephen Bartlett podcast, and the next week somebody's contradicting that, you know, very same story. And yeah, so I think it's really important for us to take the time to be still. And whatever that looks like for you, because it could be stilling the mind for you actually is moving and walking. It could be yoga. It could be that actually, you know, you want your body to be still in order for your mind to be still. So that might take the form of meditation. And it can even take the form of just sitting, you know, even if it's a couple of minutes and just sitting with yourself, which, let's be honest, a lot of us find really, really difficult now. I think we've become so used to being constantly entertained that the idea of being with ourselves is really uncomfortable. And, you know, when I was a kid, it was my absolute dream, because I've always loved a bit of telly. And my dream was to have a portable TV. And, you know, that's basically what we've got now. But not only that, this like supercomputer in our pocket. So, yeah, my point is, I think I need to do, yeah, a bit more still time, a bit more reflective time. So, yeah, and actually having listened to you, I'm going to have a little look into some sort of intro to breath work. I've done a bit of it in the past, and I did feel very at peace, like you said, and very connected to the universe. I just felt, I think when you do the breath work and you have that moment where you're not breathing and you let it all out and you're so still, And particularly if you're somewhere that's quiet, and I think you just feel, just so in tune with everything. So yeah, I'm definitely going to give that another go. So yeah, thanks for inspiring me.
No, you need it. Don't, like, not you. Yeah, we all need it. I needed that this weekend. Like, and I've done nothing. All I've done since is think about it, talk about it. I've taken loads about. I mean, I won't even go down this rabbit hole, but we ate from the land, like, you know, organic food. We were nourishing our body, which helped with sleep and prioritizing sleep. We were moving in nature, like I said, hot, cold. Then on top of that, doing all this kind of work, inner work and spiritual work. I honestly haven't felt as good on a weekend ever. And that's like a big statement, like ever. Bear in mind, I was sleeping in a dormitory of six lads. I slept like an absolute baby, like a knockout, like for sort of 10 hours, which is just mad. Like I just can't stop talking about it. But ever since I've come back, I've changed a few things up. And one of them is the diet. I always do intermittent fasting. So this week I've been trialing doing a smoothie, but like I'm not just like chucking a bit of fruit in and putting some protein powder in it. I'm talking about, you know, what raw ingredients can I find, like frozen blueberries, like a handful of like actual fresh spinach, ginger, but even a bit of garlic in there this morning, coriander, a pear, like just chucking it all in, a bit of water, and obviously using the frozen berries as ice. And that actually I found quite nice having that at sort of 9 o'clock this morning. I was like, oh, that's weird eating it this time. But and like we were saying, I think I was talking to you and I was talking to Kelly Barfoot earlier about how, because she does that and she's obviously super healthy, Cook with Kelly, anyone who knows Cook with Kelly. And she was saying, people say, oh, yeah, that's a great, that's not a good thing to have first thing where you spike your glucose. And she's just like, it's crazy because it is a really good thing to have. Your body needs that after it's fasted for sort of 12, 14 hours. It needs that. And people that say that are often the ones that are having a pan of chocolate and a cup of coffee. So it's just odd. But so I'm trying that, and then also trying the meditation, not trying that, I'm redoing it like I used to at 7. I used to always put the kids to bed at 7 o'clock, and then I'd go and meditate. And I just lost that because as the kids have got older, they've gone to bed later, and it becomes, you know, a lot less time between the kids going to bed and us going to bed. In fact, the older kids go to bed after we get to bed. So I've just had to be serious and strict with it. And I've managed to tune in. That's how I what I call it. Because quite often, if I pick up meditation after a certain amount of time off, I struggle to sort of get back into it. So I'll shut my eyes and I'll be thinking about all sorts of stuff. But now I'm like, as soon as I shut my eyes, I have a couple of deep breaths. I'm sort of, I had described it as like a light comes on, like a yellow, warm light comes through my head, like into my eyes. And that's like when I'm in the zone, and I just sit there for sort of 20 minutes in that space of just stillness. And I'm just like, I just feel like the world is charging me up. And I just, in that moment, you are like, Joe Dispenza describes it really well. Dr. Joe Dispenza, he says, when you meditate, you realize that you are nothing. You are nobody. You have no name. You have no job. You have nothing. You are actually, you make all this shit up. You're born into the world. Your mum calls you your name. They tell you where you're going to live. You get a job that's, you know, not very reliable. That can lo You can lose at any time. You've got a house. Yes, you even bought the house, but it's not yours. Someone else is going to live in it after you. Like, you're nothing here. Nothing here matters. You're just, all that
It's the
matters is,
stories we tell ourselves, isn't it? That's,
yeah.
so much of life. It is, and Tony Robbins talks a lot about that, and the stories that we tell ourselves and the beliefs that we hold. And actually, I think when you get to a point where you realize you can actually analyze what your beliefs are, and then you get to the point where you realize you can change them and you can choose your beliefs, like that is really powerful. And that's something I'm doing some more work on at the moment. I'm rereading Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, which is a probably, in my opinion, like the self-development book. And it was one that Andy read that he had it on his shelf for years. And it's a bit like me, actually. I was the same. And it's such a big book. It can be a bit overwhelming and intimidating. But at one point, I don't know why, but this book caught Andy's attention and he picked it up and he read it. And that book he cites as part of what changed his life and set him on this, alcohol-free self-development journey. So yeah, fantastic book if you haven't read it.
Yeah, it is. So yeah, I mean, I could go on about this forever, but I just feel so passionate about it, and I encourage anyone to try it. And by the way, the last thing is community is, even though community might not be on the descriptive of, I don't know, that's a word, of spirituality, when I do dry events, when you do dry events, even when I see you, Chris, you know, like there's when you see people that you meet sober and you care about and you've got that common bond, you elevate how you feel. And we've done dry events, haven't we? Where we just looked at each other and gone, like, I feel like I'm buzzing a little bit. Like it's a mad, and with the off the sesh lads, I just had that in itself, just being with them made me feel like spiritually connected, because we're here, we're human beings. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be working together and in contact with each other. So I think again, even if you just started by, if you're not on the dry app, which you probably are, get on the dry app and communicate in there, get stuck in there. We've seen Dot hit a year sober this week or last week. We've seen Jody hit a year
last week.
So there's, you know, we've got such an incredible free community at your fingertips. And if you're a lad and you want to get stuck into mine, come and join me. We get together every Friday, like I said, and you can join at offthesesh.com, or you can join through that at dry app as well. So yeah, there you go. I mean, what a weekend. So all you boys that were there and all you boys that missed out and all you boys that are on it, just massive shout out to you guys. We've got, we're going to do the Yorkshire Three Peaks together, which is a free event. So anyone that does join us, wants to join us for that, we're doing it in May. So that'll be another incredible day. We're doing the Three Peaks all in one day, so that'll be a bit of a test, but we'll do it together. It'll be brilliant. Hopefully the weather will be good. You know, what a great achievement that is. What a way to spend a weekend with your mates that you've never met before, climbing Three Peaks, you know, just living an alcohol-free dream, isn't it? And I'm buzzing for that
this
as well.
Is it. Yeah, and that sort of thing gives you a natural high, doesn't it? Doing an experience like that, going to a meetup, and you know, the last one we did Birmingham, I was literally high, like off the atmosphere. Actually, it might have been
that might be the drinks he was serving.
I was buzzing. I was like, oh my god! But genuinely, most of it was just the connection and the love in the room, which sounds really hippie, but it's true. And yeah, those events are powerful. And then like you say, doing stuff, getting outside, climbing those mountains, literally and metaphorically. It's incredible.
Real. I love it. And also just to mention that we are relaunching our Get Dry course, which is our big flagship course. It's the course that most people have done. It's the course we're probably best known for. It's the course where we help you get off the booze. It's ridiculous value. It's for a whole month in April. Starts April the 1st, ends April the 30th. There's 10 Zoom sessions in there. There's live content fed every single day into the group. There's a private group. There's so much value in this. If you're struggling to get off the booze, you can't make it sick, you want to come and join us for a month, it starts April the 1st. You can sign up now. You can sign up in the app in the courses section, or you can sign up at dryapp.com. So come and see us there. Anything
and
else?
Sorry, I was just going to say that we actually have a lot of people, don't we, join us on Get Dry who are already dry or alcohol free, but they come for that extra sort of boost, that extra motivation, connection. And so if you just feel like you need a little pick me up and you want to make some new mates, and you'll always learn stuff. There's so much content, in particularly now we have our life members are incredible and so knowledgeable, and they go live every night, and it's just phenomenal. So whether you are dry or not, come and join us. You're going to have a great time.
It's a really good point about the timing as well, because we did move the time for the last one to 7 p.m. because we had loads of feedback and we're keeping it at 7 p.m. So it's also that witching hour. So every single night for April, we will be there to hold your hand virtually, either on a live stream or on a Zoom. So yeah, come and join us. Come and get stuck in. And also, that isn't the end of it. That's just the beginning of the path. After you've done that, you can come and join us on the next step, which is a longer course, which is a bit of a deeper dive into the world of self-development. And we're about to launch the third step. For those people that have completed the next step, we're going to be introducing something called Club Dry, which is an ongoing yearly self-development group, which is where there's an intimate group of us. We're all going to go deep dive in. We're going to change the world together, but that's only for people that have done the next step course. So get yourself stuck into it, and I will see you later. You're off skiing.
I am. I go on Saturday. So fingers crossed that I come back in one piece. But I've got all the gear. I'll look good even if I don't perform very well. But no, I'm excited. I'm not a very proficient skier, but I'm determined to come back, looking a bit more elegant on my skis. So I will report back.
We look forward to hearing all about it. Thank you so much for joining me as always. Thank you all of you for joining us. We'll see you on the Get Dry course. We'll see you in the Dry app. We'll see you on Off the Sesh. We'll see you in the spiritual world as we meditate together and come together as one. And we'll all be thinking of you, Crystal, when you're on the slopes next week.
Namaste.
Have a good day. Have a good week. And we'll catch you next week.
Bye, everyone.